Good morning, church. Do you need Jesus this morning? I certainly need him. You need him. And I want him. You desire him in your heart to have him to hold and to nurture us in the life that he has blessed us with. He's a good God. I want you to be encouraged this morning before we get into the passage that I want to share with you today. As part of the Everyday Disciples series that Pastor Dave has been walking the church through over the last weeks. Disciple, that word really resounds in my heart. It resonates, I should say, with me, because disciple, the word disciple is from the word discipline, a disciplined one. In other words, one that would listen to Jesus and follow his ways, that would have a relationship with Jesus and follow him in everything that he does, everything that he has said, everything that he teaches in his word. Do you want to be that people that when Jesus says something, that you just do it? I do. It's not always easy, but all that Jesus desires is relationship. He doesn't desire religion. Religion is like a system. It's a system of faith. I'm not saying religion's wrong, but relationship is what Jesus desires. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. When he was on the cross, all that he could say was, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And you know what? He's not on the cross anymore. He's risen, and he's still saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he comes in, and he wants to help us. He wants to guide us. And we let him down, but he never lets us down. We fall short of the glory of God every day, but he's never fallen short of the glory of God. We fail to give glory to God, but he's never failed to give glory to the Father. So do you think he's a good example to follow? I believe he is. I know he is. He's proven to me that he is. And I want to make him my dwelling place. The title of the message this morning, and we will open in prayer, is Growing in Intimacy with Jesus. I remember when I was courting Jody. The very first time that I set up a date, I cooked this meal that my mum had taught me to cook. She come over for the very first time when I met her in Brisbane. I met her down a Coles aisle. I was a chip rep at the time, and I ripped off some cardboard, wrote my number on the cardboard, and said, "Here, ring me." And she rang me. And the rest is history. But when she rang and we set this time up, Jody doesn't wear glasses, but at the time she was wearing glasses. And this is quite intimate, what I'm going to share with you right now between me and Jody, but I'm going to share it with you, is that she had the glasses and we had our first kiss. And I had this little thing that I just said to her. I said, "You know, with the glasses you look sophisticated, without the glasses you look beautiful, but you're just beautiful." And it was just like, take the glasses off, put the glasses on. But intimacy is what we have as husbands and wives in here. We have with our children, we have, you know, there's different forms of intimacy. But there is one form that really matters, and that's our intimacy with Jesus. And we just want to grow in that intimacy. Do you want to grow in that intimacy with Jesus, with your spouse, with your family as well? Because I know, and I can tell you for sure, that when you grow in intimacy with Jesus, all the other intimacies of your life will grow as well. You'll love your spouse more. You'll treat them better. You'll understand what their needs are. And that Jesus Christ has come and he's just said to you and to me, "I want to be intimate with you. I want to dine with you. Come and sit at my table. I'll put the candles out. I'll have the table set in the presence of your enemies, mind you. And I'll have that table set. And you can sit and dine with me and have intimacy with me." And Jesus wants that so much. He's looking at you and me, yes, but he's looking at a world out there of souls that he desires to be intimate with, but they don't want anything to do with him. And it's not their fault. In fact, I'm going to go so far to say is sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's our fault because we're not sharing. We're not sharing the gospel with the lost. We're not touching lives. We're not being those everyday disciplined ones, those everyday disciples. And part of this series, Everyday Disciples, Growing in Intimacy, I'm really excited about sharing this because it's a message that is close to my heart. It's a message that I want to pursue. It's a lifestyle I want to pursue. And by the time that you walk out those glass doors today, I want you to feel that same way. To go out there and say, hey, I want to be intimate with Jesus. I want to be intimate with my spouse. I want to be thoughtful of others because that is the kingdom of God. That's the heartbeat, the very heartbeat of the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, your mercy and your grace. Thank you for loving us so, so much, Lord, that you gave your only son. You invested Jesus Christ into our lives and that whoever believes in him would be saved. You didn't come to condemn the world, Father God, but you come to save it. So I thank you, Lord, as we walk through this passage of scripture that Harry has read this morning, found in John, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your revelations will come forth and that the word of God will be the victor in this house today. And we just give you praise for it. And all God's people said, amen. So the context of this passage today and the message, I guess, or the core of it is demonstrating that God is a farmer. We have farmers in here, ex-farmers, practicing farmers perhaps. Now, one thing I can say of myself, I'm not a farmer. I've tried to farm. I've grown beans, I've grown zucchinis, I've grown things, and I've tried. But if it wasn't for my dad, I think my stuff would have died because he was the one there watering it. He was the one there advising because he knew. He's a farmer. He knew what to do. The whole family, the whole history of his family was farming. So he was in the know. And it's not unlike, that's my earthly father I'm talking about, but my heavenly father is in the know. He's a farmer. And you know what? He desires a crop. He desires a crop. I remember planting bean seeds, getting handfuls, and I'd go down to the CRT and grab the seeds and buy the seeds. I'd be investing money into that. I'd be going and buying irrigation and fertilizers and all of the things Dad suggested I needed to make these beans grow. And I would go and then drop these beans in the trench, hoping, believing, trusting that I would receive a crop eventually. And 6 to 8 weeks later, or however long it took, I started to see these flowers coming on these plants. And then I started to see beans, little tender little beans. For those of you who've grown beans, you can see, you know what I'm talking about. And then a week later, or a week and a half later, they're almost ready to pick. And then we send them off to market. And I remember one particular time that when I sent them off, we only sent a few boxes, but we got $80 per box for 10 kilos of beans, which was really good at the time. And I feel that was very fruitful, but that was a one-off occasion. And the agent rang me and said, when are you going to, or just order your Lamborghini? And I was all excited thinking, okay, I'm going to become a farmer. I'm into this now. And then the rest of the year was $25, $15. You know, it just went south from there. But it wasn't about the money. It was about the production of the fruit. And that's when we relate that to our lives, we want to be a fruitful people. We know that God is the vine dresser or the gardener. Jesus is the vine, and who are we? The branches. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We do have a PowerPoint up here, so we're just going to go to the first point of the PowerPoint. Number one, there's five R's we want to speak about this morning, and the first one is recognize God's crop comes through the branches. Now, for a branch to survive, what has to happen? It needs to be connected to the vine. And also, from the vine, it needs to be looked after by the gardener. Amen? God looks after us through his Son, Jesus Christ. I hope that brings you an insight or a revelation this morning that you may or may not have had before. But God wants to garden and produce a crop. He wants the vine for you and for me as branches to be totally reliant on the vine. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, I had a gentleman in our gardening business ask me just not so long ago, about 3 weeks ago. He said, what do you like at pruning grapes? And I said, if you want your crop destroyed, you just get me with some secateurs and I'll go and prune your grapes. I didn't really say that. That's what I was thinking. I said, if you go to Harry or my dad or anyone else in here, I'm not sure who else knows how to prune grapes properly and make it work, that's who you get. But God definitely has a crop and he wants to have that crop bear fruit. This is found in verse 5 of the passage that we're speaking as well, just so we're just going to go through this. It's a little bit mixed up a little bit, but verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear a little bit of fruit. Apart from me, you can do everything. Is that really mixed up? That's really mixed up. So what we need to say is you will bear much fruit. If you're abiding in the vine, you're remaining in the vine. If you're connected to the vine, verse 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You will bear much fruit if you are in me. How are we in Christ? Are you in Christ this morning? Reading his word, praying, allowing him to have his way, being led by the Holy Spirit in everything that you do, everything that you say, knowing that the fruit of the vine, abiding in the vine gives you that fruit that God wants you to produce. And that fruit, actually, I just want to say this, the branches do not act independently of the vine, and that the branches, and I thought this was a really good point, and I didn't come up with it, okay? This is copyright. We need to have the DNA of Jesus Christ. We need to think like he thinks. We need to walk and talk like he talks. And when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches, we have to believe it, that we need him, that we can do nothing unless he's there, unless he's holding our hand through everything. And further on in this passage here, I'm just going to read verses 5 and 6 to you, which is we've started to touch on. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. That's a scary thought, to be unfruitful, unproductive. Do you think God really wants you and me to be in that position, to be a branch that's thrown away? He doesn't. He desires us to be fruitful branches. And for the fruitful ones who do bear fruit, he desires to prune us. Not like Anthony would prune and destroy the crop, but prune in such a way that there will be fruit after fruit, growth after growth, growing in that intimacy, growing in that relationship with Jesus Christ that he desires you to have. And pruning isn't easy, not the actual act of pruning, but being pruned isn't easy. Sometimes there's things in life, it requires sacrifice. Things that are taken away from you, but it's for your betterment. Amen? Have you ever had something that God said, and he's dealing with you, that he said, it's just better if you don't do this and don't touch this and don't involve yourself in this, and it needs to go, it needs to be pruned. Because it's going to affect the fruit that is going to grow on your branch or you as a branch. Have you ever had something that God's dealt with you and you might be going through something right this very day, this very moment that God is trying to prune, but you're just saying, hey, don't touch my branch. Don't touch it. It's precious to me. Well, let him cut it. Because whatever he's trying to take, he's going to return to you 100-fold. 1,000-fold, whatever fold. So he's not trying to get something from you, or take something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Amen? When he prunes you. Pruning isn't enjoyable. In a few points here, cast out, withered, thrown in the fire and burnt. I just look at this, the steps to being in a life of not total destruction, but stepping towards that life of destruction. And I just wrote a few things down here in doing this. First thing is, we walk away from God. This is the steps to destruction. We walk away from abiding in Him. That word abide, remaining in Him, dwelling, making Him our dwelling place. And then when we walk away from Him, we don't have that intimacy. We don't have that relationship. We don't make them decisions. We're not led by the Holy Spirit. And then we make false decisions. We make decisions that are detrimental to our life. And then judgment can come. Things can start, you know, going haywire. And then the next step, in the absence of God's grace in your life at that time, from walking away, disobedience. We've seen it time and time and again in the Old Testament. When Israel walked away from God, there was judgment. Now, praise be to God, we're in the New Testament times, and Jesus has taken our judgment. Jesus has covered our sins. But there's still consequences for our bad decisions. Would you agree? Do you think it's just a tiptoe through the tulips and we can just do what we want, how we want, and everything's going to be rosy? Not necessarily, and not at all, I would say. But this is a demonstration of those branches that are thrown away and burned. And it's a scary, scary thought, but it needs to be said, it needs to be taught, that we need to remain connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remain in Him as He is in us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We leave Him and forsake Him. And my encouragement to you this morning, if you're in that situation where you feel in your heart, oh, I'm just not where I want to be. I just don't like my account at the moment with the Lord. I want to get closer to Him. Well, just do it. Just like the Nike slogan, just do it. Just get closer to Him. Make some decisions. Instead of flicking the box on the TV, go and read the Bible. Go and visit someone. Go and pray for someone. Do something out of the ordinary. Just do something, even if it's one step. And you'll feel in yourself, you'll believe and know in yourself that, hey, that was a Holy Spirit action. And now I feel blessed. Because I made that decision, I made that sacrifice, I pruned the TV or I pruned this off me, and now I feel as though that, yeah. And you know what, when you make that decision, just that one decision, those decisions build and build, and all of a sudden you find yourself down the track just doing God's work. You're just walking with Him just by stepping into it. And it becomes easier and easier. It doesn't even become a sacrifice. At the, you know, how many even here, it's not a problem to turn the TV off and read the Bible? Oh, okay. Thanks for your honesty. Well, that it's I'm really appreciate, and God appreciates that honesty. So that means that this message is relevant. But we need to understand that when we do those things, when we turn off our favorite TV program purposely, and it's coming up with the best part, we really need to see this. By the way, you can see it on catch up later. But the point is, when we make that sacrifice, God will bless it. And He'll bring you closer to Him. And that's what He desires. And you know what? Who wants to make God smile? Who wants to please His heart? Who wants to bring glory to God? And you don't have to answer that, because I know you all do. But that's where we need to be, in Him. So we need to, I better get to these points and stick to the script. So we need to, firstly, what are we up to? Realize. Okay, so we need to realize that without Jesus, we're dead. We're nothing. We're nothing. A branch cannot produce its own life. It needs to be connected to the vine. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And we've already talked about when we're not in Christ, how we can walk down a path of destruction. Number three is we need to relinquish. Now, this word here, relinquish, being connected to Jesus is not always comfortable. This is talking about the pruning and the things that need to be taken away, the giving up of things. We need to surrender. I love that word. There's two words this morning that I want you to go home with. But if you don't go home with anything else, is surrender and abide. We need to abide or remain, as the NIV teaches, but we need to surrender and abide. Surrender to Jesus and abide in Jesus. As we make Him our abode, our dwelling place, our help, our keeper, He keeps us. There is much blessing in that. And as we are doing that, we are the branches. We are being the branches that He wants us to be, and we will become fruit bearers. just like that bean patch, when I planted that and Dad looked after it, we got it to that point and we had beans because it was nurtured, it was looked after. It was, we as farmers, I guess, or Dad as the head farmer, was connected and committed to the cause to make it happen. Amen? That's what we've got to be. We've got to be connected and committed. Pruning seems harsh, but it is meant to help the branch and not to harm it. Do you get that? It's not to harm. Just like I said before, it's not, God's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. He's trying to get everything that is in his kingdom to you. Verse 4 of this passage says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So this bearing of fruit also brings another R word, which is called, what's up there already, reproduce. Great things happen when we remain connected. Amen? Remaining connected to Jesus. And remaining connected even in the local body, in the local church, I believe is an important factor as well. Because when you walk into church on Sunday morning, and Joy and Carrie and myself were out there, and Matthew praying there, and you know, while we're praying, all I hear is this chatter out here. Fellowship, talking, chatting. You know, you're connected. You've got that relationship with each other in Christ. And it's not like that we're in there and there's just dead silence out here. And that's what God's kingdom's like. It's about fellowship. It's about interaction. It's about sowing in and reaping and sowing and reaping into each other's lives and bringing a blessing to someone else. So this reproduce, this point here, which is number 4, reproduce, these great things happen. And the great thing is that because as a result of being connected to Jesus and remaining in him, you can do great exploits for his kingdom. You can touch many lives, lives that otherwise would not be touched. And that should be your aim. It should be your desire to reproduce. Amen? You know, I had a removalist guy. He's moved off to New Zealand. And in this word reproduce, I'm just going to jump off to another word called clone. I wish I could clone this guy. He was awesome. I never had a customer complaint. Everything was done perfectly. He'd done things efficiently. He'd done things the right way. We got 5-star reviews on it. I can honestly say every job he did, we got 5-star reviews for those who reviewed him. I'd like to reproduce that. I'd like to clone that right across our network. But the point is, that's not possible, is it? But we should have that heart in our Christian walk, in our church, in everything that we do, that we want to reproduce people of like faith. I'm not talking about cultish things and things. I'm talking about people who love Jesus, people who love the Word of God, people who read the Word and interpret the Word by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, people who love as God loves, people who show mercy as God shows mercy, to reproduce and reproduce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's another thing we need to talk about. Well, I'm not going to go to the passage in Galatians chapter 5 this morning, but this is what this is tied in with. The fruit that is growing on our tree of love and gentleness and kindness and joy and peace and all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. These fruits are constantly growing and we're constantly being pruned so that these fruits can produce more and more. Amen? And that's what we need to understand, is that this pruning process we were talking about a moment ago is so important, though it is so painful sometimes. And it's a sacrifice, and it's something that we have to learn to deal with. So reproduction or reproduce, fruit is produced in the follower of Jesus, not by the follower. That's one thing I do want you to understand this morning, is that we don't produce our own fruit. We produce as a result of the relationship and the connectedness we have with Jesus. It's all of him. It's none of us. Amen? And he is the one. God is the gardener and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches that grow the fruit through him and him alone. Being fruitful is not about activity for Jesus, but about intimacy with him. You can do all of the church programs. You can go to every church service and every church meeting. You can watch every church TV show. You can do church, 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 and have church until church is just overflowing. But if you haven't got intimacy with Jesus, you're missing it. Amen? Is that what I was just talking about is religion. Intimacy is relationship. And that's what we want. God wants, and that's what we should want. So that's reproduce number four. And verse 8, I just want to touch on this as well, because verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be disciplined ones, to be disciples." So what is all this about, what I'm talking about this morning? Is it just all to benefit us? Is it all so that we feel good in ourselves? Verse 8 tells me no. Verse 8 tells me that all of this bearing fruit is to bring glory to God. Being connected as a branch to the vine is to bring glory to the God of the universe. To bring peace, a pleasingness to him, if that's a word. So when we bear fruit, this glorifies God. The branch bears fruit not to draw attention to itself, but to bring glory to the Lord. You know, I'm a musician, as most of you know. I'm not an excellent musician, but I'm a sound musician. Do you get that? Sound musician. Okay, that was a dad joke. I am a dad. But when all the bands that I've been associated with over the time, I've met a lot of characters. And because I'm only an average musician, I've seen a lot of competitiveness. I've seen a lot of competition within that scene, as in the church. And a lot of self-righteousness, a lot of pride. I had one such team that I was under in one church at one stage, and the son was a really excellent guitar player. He was really good. But the problem is he knew it. The problem is his dad was the pastor. And the problem is when we were at practice and his dad, the pastor, who's the leader of the church, the guide of the church, would come and he would suggest things. This son of his, who was an excellent musician, would treat his dad terribly, speak to him awful. And I honestly left the church and the team because of that. Was it a right reason to leave? I don't know. But I just didn't feel comfortable with that. I said, no, you can be the best musician. You can be the best preacher. You can be the most eloquent speaker. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, and you don't have the humility to deal with that, it's a clanging cymbal. Have we got a cymbal there? Yeah. You know, it's like the love passage, but it's a waste of time is what I'm saying. Even though you're serving and you're doing all this stuff, we're not bringing glory to God because it's all about us. It's all coming back to me. But we need to lay the crowns that we've put on our heads and we need to lay them down at the foot of the cross. We need to lay them down and say, Lord Jesus, it's all of you, none of me. You've anointed my fingers to play. You've anointed my voice to sing. You've anointed my voice to preach. You've anointed me to do whatever ministry any of you are called. But you need to say that to the Lord, thank you for the anointing. I appreciate the anointing that you've placed in my life to be able to do this and to serve in your church. But I'm not going to allow pride in. But I'm going to continually, daily, every day disciple, every day pursue humility. It's very easy for us to puff ourselves up, isn't it? It's very easy, but it's not so easy to remain humble. But that's all that God wants. So I'm just going to recap those five points for you. And I just want to share one more thing before closing this morning. So number one was recognize that God's crop comes through the branches. That's you and me. We need to, number two, realize branches need to be connected to Jesus to have life. If you're not connected to Jesus, you haven't got life. You'll be dead. Amen. Spiritually speaking, we need to be connected to Jesus. Relinquish. We need to give up. We need to surrender those things that God is saying to surrender. We need to always, always not be scared of being uncomfortable. We all want comfort, don't we? This winter, there's been a few nights that have been pretty cold and mornings. Who just says, you know, just turn all the heating off. I don't want to be warm. I want to be freezing cold. And you're only allowed to wear shorts and a t-shirt. That's the rules in this house. You know, so let's face it, as human beings, we just want to be comfortable. We want the heater at the right, you know, don't talk to Jody about being comfortable. She has hot flushes. So it's very hard to turn a wood heater off real quick. So we need to open windows and doors. And I sit down, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, sometimes five. Can you shut that door? I'm cold. I see a lot of people relating to this. So that's good. I knew you would. But the point of the matter is that comfort is something that is built into us. We desire to be comfortable in whatever we do, like when we lie on a bed, when we sit on a couch, when we sit in a car. Like I drove off to Chinchilla yesterday in an emergency mercy dash to fix a problem, and some of the road out there is like the waves of the sea, especially when the truck's empty. But I've got a sprung seat in the truck, so it bounces with it, so it's not so bad. But my poor old passenger there, he's bouncing around. So I was comfortable. He wasn't so comfortable. But we need to understand that sometimes God is going to come into our lives and say, I want you to be comfortable in the distress. I want you to be comfortable in the challenge. I want you to be comfortable in the storm. Because all you need is me. Just like the song, Lord, I need you. The song that we just commenced this message with. Lord, I need you. You're my refuge. You're my hope. And I know because I need you, when I have you, I have everything. When I have you, I can do all things. The Bible says I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. So we can have that strength if we're in that uncomfortable place and we don't want to relinquish those things and give those things up that we so hold so tightly. You know, some of us have got too tight a grip. We're holding on to things too tight. I would encourage you just to loosen that grip so that God can just gently come and take that from you and surrender it to him. And when you surrender that to him, he will bring more stuff back than you can even imagine. Amen? Just think about it. You're holding on to this one little thing that is so important to you, and at the same time, you could be missing out on all the goodness, all of the greatness that God wants to give to you just because of that one thing you're holding on to. Amen? You need to understand that. So that's number three. Number four, reproduce. Great things happen when we remain connected to Jesus. And that word remain or abide is so important. And I want you to go away today with that desire in your heart to remain and abide in Christ. And you might ask, well, how do I do that? Well, being here this morning, you've started. Just being in this house today, you've started. I suggest in the afternoon, perhaps read the word. Fellowship with like believers through the week, perhaps. Pray. Worship. Don't be afraid to even throw on a YouTube worship set and just listen to it while you're working or while you're doing whatever you're doing. Or just lock yourself in a room and just praise the Lord. Lift your hands to him. There's nothing wrong with lifting your hands to the Lord. Jesus lifted both of his on a cross. He lifted both of his on a cross and had them nailed to that cross. So I don't have a problem raising my hands when I worship God because that's just a, it's no special thing, but to me, I'm it's a sign of surrender. Lord, I surrender.